welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead again. We're going to get started. We've been kind of going in the last several weeks on a series. If you've been kind of following along, coming out or following along on the YouTube or the postings or whatever, it's been kind of an ongoing series. I started it several weeks back. I knew it'd be a few weeks, but you know, the Lord's continuing to just unfold and take it to new different levels and places. And so basically the title of the message is called How to Get a Ripped Mind That Wants to Think on the Right Things All the Time. Okay? We've been inundated with the think right message in the body of Christ. You just got to think right. You know, if you can think right, man, everything is going to change. Everything's going to be better, you know, and it's true. It's a right message. It's a correct message, spiritually, scripturally, you know, and we said you can kind of go into the Word of God and you can find out that, you know, there it is all over the Word of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So yeah, we need to set our minds right. We got to think right. Not only, so we kind of called that the 101, the fact that we need to think right. We need to think spiritually minded. Then we said there's kind of the 201, not only just that we need to do it, but the why. What's the significance? And we found out as we delved into the Word of God that, man, when you set your mind on things above, there's peace, there's grace, there's a spiritual mindedness that produces life and peace. It's not just positive thinking, but there is spiritual strength when you're setting your mind on things above. But we said, too, that, you know, as we've endeavored to do that, you know, we find that just thinking right isn't as simple as it might sound, because there are the headwinds of the flesh, the world, the devil. There's pulls on your mind all the time from thinking right. And so what we've wanted to do in this series is really look at, man, how can I get a ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time? I already know the answer, all right? I got it. I know how to overcome. But what can I do to begin to develop that mind to where, man, I am thinking on things spiritually. I got a spiritual attention span. I'm going there and I'm staying there and I'm overcoming. That's the picture that we're given with the Think Right message. And so this series has been a process of beginning to develop ourselves to where we've got that mind, that kind of a mind. So as we've done it, we've said there's some certain ground rules. Discipline is not legalism. There will be some disciplines in, I'll tell you, if you're going to get ripped, you're going to get in shape in any area, there is a discipline that's involved. It doesn't mean that we don't understand our righteousness in Christ. We're not substituting legalism. We're not doing what we're doing to try to be made righteous. We know that's only through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But I don't have to choose between discipline or righteousness. I can know my righteousness and still have discipline in my life. And so as we're kind of walking through some of these, what we're calling ground rules of how to get a ripped mind that wants to think right all the time, we're realizing that there's going to be some things that we do, not in the spirit of legalism, but in the spirit of a disciplined mind that's overcoming and growing and developing, okay? So that's kind of ground rule. And also, we said getting stirred up on the power of God. This is not mind over matter. This is not mental power versus. This is the power of God. The mind part is like a switch. But you're going to get stirred up and realize that as you hit these inflection points of overcoming these headwinds, you're going to do it in the power of God. We said several weeks ago that there's what we call building the puzzle, or really just vision. As we're doing stuff, what are we doing? We're laying out pieces. We're seeing the big picture, working one piece at a time. If you've ever worked a puzzle, you know that it's a tedious process that requires patience. You get those edge pieces together, the corners. Maybe you got a big red lighthouse, so you get all the red pieces together, and you begin to get deliberate, and slowly but surely, as you're working that puzzle, things start to come into focus. But you don't get frustrated or disappointed because you can't put that, you know, 1,000-piece puzzle together right away. It's going to take some time as you do it. And that's what we said, as you're getting that ripped mind, there's a vision. You know, as you're doing that puzzle, you see the finished picture on the box and what you're working toward. And you can see where you want to go. That's great. But there's going to be an element of patience here. You know, the Apostle Paul gives some great analogies, or James gives the analogy of the hardworking farmer. You know, you've got that's patiently waiting for the crops. You've got the good soldier that's enduring hardness, knowing that there's a victory. You've got the athlete that's going to compete lawfully. So there's discipline that you see as this is happening, as you're developing. And then we look the next week at strength training, rejoicing in hope, praying in the Spirit. We said that there is going to be times that you're just going to rejoice in hope. That's where you count it all joy in those different times and tests and trials. And what is that? That's rejoicing. That's on purpose rejoicing. And again, we're not talking about, 101 or 201 stuff. This is 301. We're getting into the how-tos. So we're taking it to another level of discipline, okay? We get that it's frustrating to rejoice in difficult times. We know that. But in the strength training, you're going to rejoice. You're going to do, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So even though you don't feel like it, you know there's strength in that rejoicing as you begin to lift up your voice. And that's what we said a lot of times. There's times you got to lift up your voice. You got to declare it. You got to cry out, praise you, Jesus. Like Jody was talking in the praise and worship. Lord, you are my rock. You're my strength. You're my shield. You're lifting that up. You're giving God glory in the middle of the trials and the tests. And there's a strength that comes from that rejoicing. There's praying in the Spirit. When you pray in an unknown tongue, your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit prays and it edifies yourself. There's a strengthening, there's an edification that comes from praying in the Spirit. And as we said, for a lot of us who understand and have prayed in tongues, it's not the missing link. A lot of times it's the forgotten link. It's like, oh yeah, I can pray in the Spirit. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray, but I can pray in the Spirit. And there's a strengthening that comes from praying in the Spirit. There's a strength training. There's an endurance training. We said that, you know what, you're going to probably have some good rounds, some bad rounds. We kind of made reference to the old Rocky movie. He wasn't a great boxer. He had a lot of bad rounds, but he kept answering the bell. And if you're going to develop your mind, develop that ripped mind, you're going to probably have some bad rounds here and there where you're going to do the opposite of what you believe in your training and you're going to mess it up, but you keep answering the bell and you keep getting back up off the mat and you keep going and going. What is that? There's repetition. There's good repetition. There's bad repetition. There's a legalistic repetition where I'm trying to pray something so many times to hopefully get God's attention. But there's a good repetition where we're meditating in the Word of God and letting that Word get on the inside of us, like that Psalm 1 guy. Whatever he does prospers. He's just delighting in the law of the Lord. That's good meditation. That's a right heart. Not trying to impress God or work for anything, but letting that Word get on the inside of you. There's the resistance training. Your enemy goes out, Satan goes out of as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. After you've suffered a while, God will establish, strengthen, and settle you. So there is going to be a temporary endurance of demonic attack that hits you from the outside that we endure, but it establishes, strengthens, and settles. Also, there's a refreshing. That's where we just got to get in the presence of the Lord like we did this morning and just let the Lord refresh you. It's like that cold cup of water during a big race. You just need those times where you're going to come aside and just remember, wow, why am I doing all this? Why am I living for God? He first loved me. That's why I'm loving him. That's why I'm living for him. We need those times of refreshing. Go to conferences. Go to certain special events where you're going to be blessed. I know it takes time. Sometimes it takes time off. Sometimes there are events that you can go to, again, as God leads you, but that can really bless you, that can really refresh your batteries. You know, of course, God can do that in your own devotion time while you're just worshiping with him. He can refresh you on a Sunday morning. But we need to be deliberate about, man, there are times I need to just come in the presence of God for those times of refreshing. And so this morning, we're continuing on now, and we're continuing on with this in 1 Corinthians 6:12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. So what's Paul saying here? Man, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Here's a few other translations of that verse. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even if I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. NIV, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So, kind of coming up now to today where we're going is, and this is all fits together. These are like different little cogs in a wheel as you begin to develop that mind that is strong and wants to think on the right thing spiritually. we begin to find that we've got these choices in life. There are things that we can do, but not everything is good for you. Foods for the stomach, stomach for foods, God will destroy both it and them. And that's kind of the direction that we're going this morning, a healthy diet. All right, this is a big, big part again of getting a ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time is when you begin to recognize the importance of your diet and having a healthy diet. We've been alluding to, in the last several weeks, you know, the old Rocky movie and different parts of that. There are, you know, and I'm talking about the original one, not Rocky 25 or however many Rockies there are these days, but I'm talking about the very first one that was in the mid-70s. There were so many iconic things from that. And, you know, the strength training, we talked about the one-arm push-ups and the endurance, you know, the running and the music and all that different kind of stuff. And I was really into it. I loved it. I mean, I was just a kid when that came out, and I just thought, wow, that's really cool. That's what I want to do. And you see all those little different iconic moments, and you just want to live that. However, there was a very iconic part too, if you're a Rocky fan and watched it back then, that was part of that, that was kind of unique to that, that I did not like and that I did not enjoy. And if you know, he got up, what, 4 a.m, and he got a bunch of eggs and cracked them open. You know, and just a whole glass full of eggs. Like, there's like 2 points in that movie I have to look away. In the fight scene where he says, Mick, got to open my eye, you know, cut me, Mick, or whatever. But then when he's drinking those eggs, he just puts those eggs in this big tall glass and just gulps them down. You know? I can't look at that either. That's like, oh, it's painful to watch. And you know, when you start out the beginning of the movie, he doesn't care about his diet. I mean, when he starts out in the beginning of Rocky, he's smoking, he's drinking, you know. He's a self-described ham and egger fighter. He's just doing it to make a few bucks here and there. He doesn't care. And then all of a sudden, he gets the shot at the title of the whole world. And he's got to go into serious training. And now what he eats matters all of a sudden. And he's going pure protein. He's going to put something in him that's going to, you know, give him something that's going to help him for what he's about to do. You know, and that's true. I mean, if you are going to be serious about getting ripped physically, you are going to realize that what you eat physically matters. If you're going to get serious about getting ripped mentally in a ripped mind, you realize that what you eat mentally matters. There's a physical health. There's a mental health. And there's, you know, mental health is something that you can absolutely have real control over based on diet and what you eat as far as getting mentally healthy. Now, when I'm saying mental health, I know we kind of think in the world that we live in, but I'm talking about it from a scriptural, spiritual standpoint more so, okay? That there's elements there too. But I'm talking about that spiritual strength and that spiritual attention span that can look unto Jesus and stay looking unto Jesus no matter what's going on in your peripheral vision. You don't start out there, but you get there. That spiritual strength, that mental health, that ability to stay focused and keep your focus on Jesus. And so this morning, we're delving into this part of it right now. We're delving into what I'm simply calling a healthy diet. All right, and it's important to understand as we talk about this kind of a thing and what it means to eat spiritually, we're going to take a look at that more specifically. How you eat, switch flipping, screen touching, button pushing, okay? I'm preaching to the 21st century church, as you can tell. It's very telling, but you're going to see how you eat today. And you'd be surprised at how much you eat and the different kinds of things you eat. Let's take a look at a few scriptures and we'll delve into it. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. First of all, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do a little quick review. I'm going to do 101, then 201, and then we're going to really delve in. But I feel like I need to revisit this a little bit because it really segues well into how we eat. Here's the 101. We know this. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we see that set are focused, looking unto Jesus, setting our mind on things above. That is what we're supposed to do. Romans gets into the why. Here's the 201. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's down. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. So we can see in verse 2, there are two spiritual power plants at work in the earth. There's the power plant of the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that was unleashed when he spoiled powers and principalities and made a show of them openly and was raised from the dead far above all those powers and principalities. And he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. You go, therefore, in my name. There was a new power that was unleashed in the earth, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's another law that's been here since the fall, the law of sin and death. And it also has power, corrupting power that produces death. One power plant produces life, the other one produces death. And you see the difference right there is whether you set your mind. You can set your mind on things of the flesh, or you can set your mind on the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right? So what do we've got? You got the power plant, you got the switch, where you're going to set your mind, which power plant you're going to plug into, and then what it's going to produce, spiritual mindedness or death. So you got those three components. And this is kind of the why it's important to set our mind on things above. It's not mind over matter. It's not mental power. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus over the law of sin and death. It just so happens that when I set my mind on things above, that's the switch that allows the power of God and the law of the Spirit of life to flow through. We're going to get into that even more deep and technically how that works. But you're going to see here that this, again, is kind of the 201. This is the why we have to do what we do. And we see here, as we dig into it a little bit more, well, let me back up here, too. I kind of want to stop on this one thing here. We see the thing that these two verses have in common is set your mind on things above. If you live according to the flesh, you set your mind on the things of the flesh. Live according to the Spirit, you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Instead of seeing those words, set your mind, I want you to insert these three words. Flip that switch, touch that screen, push that button. Again, that's not all the ways, but these are a majority of the ways we set our mind. By the screens you touch, the buttons you push, and the switches that you flip, it's going to determine which lie you're tapping into. You know, it's been interesting to see. I mean, I grew up, you know, most of my childhood in the 70s, big part of it. And it's been interesting to see diets change and the culture of diet and the awareness of diets. Have you noticed that there is much more awareness in terms of calories now? You could look at something, you know, 20 years ago and say, wow, I bet that has a lot of calories. And today you're driving through McDonald's and it tells you exactly how many calories it has. Or Subway. It's like, whoa. There's a difference between thinking that probably has a lot of calories and seeing the calorie count. What is that? It's awareness. And you find that a big part of physical health and dietary health is attributed to awareness. Just awareness. And that's kind of what we're going to do here. This is not to judge or condemn or point the finger or wag. It's just awareness. Because at the end of the day, it's you. It's your diet. It's what you do with it. But it's amazing how blind we had been to a lot of dietary stuff that we kind of knew in a fog in our mind. But as we begin to kind of unravel things and be more aware, it's helped health. It's helped a lot of different things. And it's the same as we eat spiritually and as we're eating stuff spiritually. Because I want you to understand something. What you eat spiritually is not the devotion time you have in the morning. What you eat spiritually is something that happens throughout your whole day, as you're touching screens, clicking buttons, and flipping switches. You're eating throughout your whole day. Now, let's look at what the Bible says about different ways that we're fed. It says, Matthew, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye's bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He's making an analogy in a natural sense. If you've got light, you can see where you're going. If it's dark, you can't see where you're going. Same thing is true as far as the things that are feeding your soul. If you got light, you can see where you're going. If you don't, you can't. If your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. When your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Now, we're talking about getting a ripped mind. There's deception here, isn't there? You know, you can eat foods and think, wow, I've eaten something for my health and for my strength. But if that food that is in you is not good and you're self-deceived, pretty soon, you know, you're going to feel it. And a big part of this is being aware of what we're looking at. There's the eye gate. Let's kind of do the other one here too. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now we're talking about a different avenue. Consequently, NIV, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So we're seeing and hearing. Seeing can produce information that can cause darkness or light, and hearing, what you hear can produce faith. When you hear the word, it produces faith for the word. If you hear fear, it can produce fear, if you'll notice that. If you hear strife, it'll produce strife. You could be totally happy flipping through the channel, watch a news channel, and all of a sudden, my goodness, I was just happy. Now I'm just fuming mad. What you heard? It's feeding your soul. You just ate. What am I saying? I'm not condemning. I'm not being legalistic. We're going to get into that later, but I'm just saying this is awareness. Purely awareness. You can think, man, I started the day one way and I ended it another way. You know, when you do take some of these dieting things, they will make you do a food diary. Make you do a food diary of everything you ate that day. It's like, wow, I didn't realize I was eating that much, or I was eating these different kind of things. Well, no wonder. You do a spiritual food diary sometime. Before you get ready to push a button, before you get ready to touch the screen, think about it. Just awareness. Intentional. I'm about to eat right now. I'm going to turn to that channel. Yeah, it's probably not really good, but if you had the label of exactly what you're about to see, you might think twice. Now, I'm just saying, let's be honest. It's easy to be spiritual in church and have things, but it gets down to this practical stuff. We're talking about the how-to. This is 301, all right? This is getting where you live. You're eating. And what you're eating is going in. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how used of God you are, have been. What you're eating today is either fueling you today or it's taken out of you today. Anyway, let's take a look at, here's kind of the example. This is the example of Lot that the scripture gives in Peter. Talking about Lot, for that righteous man dwelling among them, he was dwelling in Sodom and Gomorrah, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under the punishment for the day of judgment. So we see, and again, I'm not even really getting into the what you should or shouldn't look at, but you can see how seeing and hearing affects you. What you see and hear, it affects you. Again, doesn't matter who you are, what you've done in the past, what you eat today determines, like if you could be a great nutrition, you could have a past of amazing nutrition and health, but what you're eating today is what matters today. It's what's going to affect how you feel today, the things that you put on the inside of you. And so we're just kind of visiting here this morning. What I just really want to bring our attention to is basically how we eat and to be more conscientious of when we're eating. And before, again, flip, switch, touch screen, push buttons, realize I'm about to eat. Is this good? All right? No condemnation, no judging, no legalism. I'm righteous by the blood. We're talking about health. Is this going to put into me? Is not. These are just awareness things. But it is important to be aware of these different ways that we do it. And I'll kind of say it this way too. Switch flipping, button pushing, screen touching is one of the most powerful expressions of your free will. Because it's what happens to you after you push the button, flip the switch, touch the screen. It changes. It goes into you and it affects you. You can look at two people, a really godly person who's doing it right, he's got the attention, and another person who's just really hurting and being destructive. I can tell you something about those people. It's not just, oh, they're a really good person, they're a really bad person. There's switches that were flipped. The free will made a decision with this little switch about what was going to feed it, and it influenced it. How about you? You've been the really bad person, and you've been the really good person. And you've realized in the power of the switches you flip and the buttons you push, what are you doing? You're just eating. Again, this is not shame on you, da-da-da-da-da. No, not at all. This is just awareness. You have a free will to push buttons. You have the free will to not push the button. What happens after the button is or isn't pushed? I mean, there's buttons you want to push. There's buttons you don't want to push. You know, there's different things like that. But it's just important to realize that, you know, the more serious you are about getting a ripped mind that wants to think right all the time, the more aware you are of how you're feeding yourself. It just happens. It's the same way with physically. If you're really serious about wanting to get in shape physically, you're going to bump up against your diet at some point. It just works that way. Same spiritually, to be aware of it. And I know a lot of this stuff, people have kind of gotten into ditches and weird stuff. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But suffice to say for right now, it's important that that how we eat is basically what we choose to set our mind on. What you set your mind on is what feeds you. And I just so love, you know, how Paul puts it in Romans. Man, I set my mind on things above. It's the law of the spirit of life. Set my mind on things of the flesh, law of sin and death. And so there's so many different ways that we can set our mind. But just understand, again, this is more understanding how we eat and that whole dynamic there. The next thing we want to talk about as it relates to a healthy diet, not just being aware of how to eat, but being aware then too of what you eat. There are mind-ripping and there are mind-corrupting foods, okay? And again, I'm not saying here to get judgmental or legalistic or anything like that, but if you're going to be honest, you got to be aware there's stuff that's good for you and stuff that's not good for you. That's exactly what the scripture is saying. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought into the power of any. Foods for the stomach for foods, God will destroy both it and them. So in the same way, you got to be honest in the natural about foods good for you and bad for you. You got to be honest when it comes to what you're feeding your soul. There's stuff that's good for you. There's stuff that isn't good for you. Okay? And it's not that you can't enjoy stuff. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy a treat. You can't enjoy different things like that. But ultimately, you got to realize that what you take in is going to affect you. Here's just a few scriptures along those lines. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Don't be deceived, misled, amplified. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. See, I'm strong, though. You don't know me. I can handle it. Famous last words. This is not talking about who you are and the strength of your personality and your past. It's talking about your human condition. If you got one of these and it's going to die, yeah, it's talking to you. It's mortal for a reason. It's been infected by sin, and it's vulnerable. And you need to realize the vulnerability of your own body. Most of us have realized our weakness and vulnerability, call it kryptonite, whatever it is, there have been some things that have tripped us up, the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. And so we realize that we've got to be aware that, yes, even me, that's why I said don't be deceived, even you could be corrupted by bad communion associations. Beloved, this is the Apostle Peter, I beg you, I see him on his hands and knees begging me, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. All right? Soul, your mind, that's part of your mind and your soul. All right? It's war against your soul. Paul said, the law of sin and death wars against the law of my mind. And so you see, there's buttons and others. He's saying, don't flip that switch. Don't flip that switch. And I'm telling you, the power of free will, it's just whether you flip the switch or don't flip the switch. I mean, that's the strength of the battle right there. He's saying abstain. Abstain from. He's saying don't go there. Don't even begin to go there. Bad company, it corrupts good character. Again, we've all experienced, if you've been a Christian for very long, you've experienced the highs, mind on things above, mind on things on the earth, mind on things above, and you experience those ups and downs. And you realize that, yes, even me can be corrupted with bad communications and that it affects me. Let me put it this way. What is corrupt communication? What is the net result of corrupt communication? This is the effect that it has on us. Corrupt communication makes you want to think on the wrong things all the time. It cultivates addiction. We're in church here, spiritually minded. Hard to imagine. But when you're sowing to the flesh, it will cultivate a hunger and an appetite to want to think on the wrong things all the time. That's the corrupting effect. You've got this push and pull that wants to think on the right things. But when you sow to the flesh, your flesh will addict. It'll like it, and it'll want it. And it makes spiritual things dull. Let's take a look at a few more scriptures. Said, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So you've got, you know, lusts that are warring against your soul, and James is saying, if you receive the word of God with meekness, it's able to save your soul. So in the same way you've got negative things, you've got positive things. Now, I don't think if I told you on a Sunday morning that the Word of God is what's going to feed your soul, that would be a big shock this morning. But it's important to look specifically, too, at the nutritional label. And we've been kind of going through this a little bit, too, in worship with the Yes and Amen song, understanding the promises of God. But let's take a look at a few things as it relates to the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, you get into reading this Word, and it's like, wow, this is, it speaks to your heart. In other words, we kind of speak, you know, regarding, you know, what we want people to see according to appearances, but the Bible gets right to your motives. And you begin to read that scripture, and it gets to your gets down to the core of why you're doing what you're doing. And ultimately, is there love or is there not love? And grace and forgiveness. It gets to your motive. Don't just love those who love you. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those. Because that's just the way the Heavenly Father loved you while you were a sinner. What reward do you have if you just love those who love you? Anybody can do that. What makes you so special? Your theology? There's more to you than theology here. You're supposed to demonstrate the love of God. It's like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yes, this isn't just about me being proud of my religion and my theology and I'm right and everybody's wrong. I'm demonstrating the love of God in the earth. You read these words and they penetrate your heart and they challenge your heart and they challenge the motive of your heart and they cause you to see through some of the own deceptions of your heart. And let me say it this way. That discerning ability is in the Word. But when that Word gets in you, that discerning ability gets in you too. And you can see through things. You see through lies. You see through wrong intentions because you're thinking like the Word. There's a nutritional value of discernment that's in the Word of God. There's also, this is what we were talking about with the Yes and Amen song, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. How has his divine power given us all things to life and godliness through knowledge? By which knowledge has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Remember we saw that scripture over in Romans 8. It says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Here we see the promises of God cause us to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. It's that same dynamic action. The power of the Holy Spirit to make you free from the law of sin and death is in those precious promises. There's power in those promises. When you begin to declare and speak those promises of God, there is power that gives you the ability to do that. What are we talking about? We're talking about what we feed on. What we feed on. And then finally, instruction. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. These are just a few nutritional values that we see on the label of the Word of God. There's discernment. There's power. There's instruction. These are the things that are going on the inside of you. You know, when you decide, and this is where we're deliberate about what we eat, in the same way, when you begin to be serious about getting in shape physically, you're deliberate about what you eat physically. It's the same way. I'm going to be deliberate about what I eat. You know, and a lot of times you kind of hear the old adage, you know, not everything that tastes good is good for you, all right? There's going to be things that you're going to eat, and you're going to eat by faith, and it's going to put something in you. When you looked at that Rocky movie, Rocky was not springing out of bed with a smile on his face because he had an urge for raw eggs. It wasn't. He was got out of bed, cracked the eggs. He knew he needed those eggs, all right? And again, you can't get kind of a fancy misrepresentation of this, like I got to be just feeling the inspiration or else it's not God leading me. Wrong. This is discipline, and it's not legalism. It's just health. It's just spiritual health. I'm flipping some good switches that's going to be putting some substance into me, and choosing to do some things that are going to put, you know, good things on the inside of me. Let me see here. The reason why this is such an important thing too is that when you begin to plug in to those things, you've got the power to do what those things provide. So in other words, if you've got carnal-mindedness stuff, you're thinking on carnal-minded, there's power in it, carnal-minded power that makes you want to do the wrong thing all the time. It's a frustrating thing. You know, you can be a Christian with great theology, but if you're carnally-minded, you're stuck in your good intentions because there's no power to do what you know you want to do. Good theology, carnal-minded. When you have good theology and you're spiritually-minded, praise God. You not only have good theology, but you're tapped into the power of God, and there's strength, and there's a flow of His strength to do what you know you need to do. What's the difference? It's just diet. That's all it is. You know, if I, and we've probably all done this at some point or something similar, you know, have my Snicker bar and wash it down with a Mountain Dew. Maybe have a donut to boot. You're gonna be guy smiley for about maybe 10 minutes. Then you're gonna be dragging in the fog, wondering what's going on. And that's just the way it is. And it's the same way too, what you eat spiritually. Your diet spiritually. I'm just in a fog. I'm just that fresh. Well, what have you been eating? Oh, God is mad at me. Some big debt. Well, what have you been eating? Being aware of that, it really affects you. To be carnally minded is death. Even if you're the most spiritual Christian in the whole world, if you set your mind on things below, it's going to have that impact. And so we got to realize, wow, okay, what I eat matters. It doesn't make me righteous before God, but it affects my mood. It affects my attitude. And realizing that those things are going to, those things are going to ultimately, you know, have an impact. So then finally, it's not only what I'm eating, but to realize, and this is kind of what I really wanted to get with this ultimately, is God's diet plan for you. We kind of saw that the way this works, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Not all things are good for me. So we're not under the law. You know, sometimes our flesh would love to be under a law. Just give me those 10 rules. Okay, I don't have 10 commandments. Just give me 10 rules. I'm going to hit those 10 hoops and I'm going to be good. You don't get that with God. You don't get that in this grace age. It's up to you. So this is where it's not the oldness of the letter, it's the newness of the spirit. We've kind of looked at some basic stuff. How we feed ourselves, what we feed ourselves matters, but this is ultimately where we're going to. God's diet plan for you. Paul puts it this way. He says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Okay? I discipline my body. Paul didn't say, I discipline your body. I discipline my body. You discipline your body. So you need to know what this means. What does that mean, Paul, that you discipline your body? Whatever that means to him, all right? It's going to mean different things to different people. Here's another way the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Now, the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse, so that's the last verse in Romans chapter 13. It goes on to say, receive one who's weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. One believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Okay, so what is the Apostle Paul saying? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, what does that mean to not make provision? It's going to mean something different for everybody. And you're going to see that different people are going to observe different ways. Some people, you know, the big hot-button issue back in their day was, do you eat meat offered to idols or don't you eat meat offered to idols? Well, you've got people that, you know, they just got saved last week and they were in the temple where that meat was, and that has all kind of connotations with them. And it's like, oh, I can't go near that meat. It just causes me to remember stuff. All right. Other people who realize they're saved by grace, they're righteous through the blood of Jesus, realize that meat has nothing to do with making a person righteous or not. And so their big thing is, do I eat the meat or do I not eat the meat? You know, and so the people who have no big deal with meat are trying to impose, you should eat that meat and not have a problem with it. Shame on you for having a problem with eating that meat. Well, for them, for that person, eating that meat would be like making provision for the flesh. It would stir up memories and different things like that. And so you realize when it comes to God's plan for you, and this is the title, Be True to Your Own Convictions, we're going to have different convictions about what we can and can't do as it relates to feeding ourselves. And we're not supposed to judge each other. But you are supposed to be true to your own convictions. Only you're going to know if you're cheating, ultimately. You're going to know if you're cheating on your diet. You're going to know if you're violating peace in your own heart. You're going to know if you're violating the precious Holy Spirit who gently leads you and guides you and shows you you. You don't even know you, but without the help of the Holy Spirit, and he shows you you and what you can do and what you can't do and what's good for you, what's expedient and what's not expedient, okay? And this is where you kind of get into the weeds a little bit in the diet. And so the Apostle Paul got there too. He went on to say in this passage, he says, do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. Or say, one person thinks some days should be set aside as holy, another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other. There are good reasons either way, so each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. What's important is that if you keep a day, a holy day, keep it for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for prime rib. If you're a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for broccoli. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we're answerable to all the way from life to death to everything in between, not each other. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. This is important when you're talking about spiritual diet. You cannot get into spiritual diet stuff as it relates to all the religiosity of the 101 and the 201 stuff. Because a lot of times what happens is somebody has been under the petty tyranny of somebody else. You know, you got ditches anywhere, right? You got kind of the legalism ditch that is critical and fault-finding, and then you kind of got the carnal ditch. Anything goes, I don't care, you know? Maybe you've been over... Maybe you've tried to live for God and somebody in this ditch began to point fingers at you and you got so frustrated, you just come on over here. Say, forget about that. You know, I'm not going to be in that ditch of legalism and criticalness and fault finding. And that's good. You're not in that ditch. One ditch down, one ditch to go. We're not in this ditch. We're not in this ditch. We're in the middle of the road and we're going somewhere. Okay? When you're in this ditch, you're not going anywhere for a reason. Your wheels are spinning, but they're not going. You're caught up in an anger and a frustration, and you're going around. It's like that. I'd say the merry-go-round. Why can't people be more spiritual? Why don't they think these things spiritually? Why can't people be more dedicated like I am? Why don't people come to church more often? Why don't people love God more? There's the critical anger, frustrating thing that has this seductive, subtle, satisfying, and the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? And then you got the people over here too. I'm over here with a chip on my shoulder because of that. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and don't judge me. You don't understand what I've been through, and I'm so mad and so frustrating. I hate those religious people, da-da-da-da-da. We don't want either of those ditches. I'm not in a ditch of a victim complex, you don't understand me, or in a holier-than-thou ditch. That's why Jesus lived and died and lived again, so he could be the master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. I don't care. I'm going down the middle of the road in the vapor of life that I've got a few years left. I'm going to be looking unto Jesus. Are people from here, am I going to not measure up to some people over here? Yeah. They're going to say you're carnal and you're not as holy as they are. Are there going to be some people over here that judge your behavior as legalistic and holier than thou and you think you're better than me? Yeah. They're going to. But I'm not going to get over here to prove something to those folks or get over here to prove something to these folks. I'm just looking unto Jesus. We're talking about developing a ripped mind that wants to think on the right things all the time. So you got to get past these things. You got to get past those ditches. And you got a diet that God's given you. And you're being true to that. And you're being true to those convictions. Are you going to be judged? Yeah. Is your good going to be evil spoken of? Yeah. Are you going to? You hear from both sides. But at some point, you got to stop hedging. You just got to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'll do, and I'll walk in love, but ultimately I'm going to be true to my own convictions. I'm going to be true to what it is that the Lord is showing me to do. You know, I'll go on like a sweet diet or a sweet fast, okay, where I fast sweets. And I've had some inflection points in my sweet fast where I've come across, you know, chocolate, a kind of chocolate that's low calorie, high antioxidants, all these health things, all right, that's actually, from a healthy standpoint, better for me than some things that I am permitted, that I permit myself to eat, okay? So if you're going to get technical scientific, Ed, you're being legalistic. You should be able to eat the chocolate because, after all, it's actually better for you than that thing you allow yourself to eat. I bring my body under because I know my body. And if I eat that sweet, wonderful, little healthy piece of chocolate for Ed House, it's going to open up a flood of Reese's peanut butter cups and chocolate caramel bars. I can't go there, all right? It doesn't mean you can't go there, but I can't go there. I've tried it. It doesn't work. There's going to be convictions and stuff that you know you, okay? And you got to be true to your convictions, all right? Yeah, I'm not in the legalistic ditch, and I'm not going to there, but if you're going to stay in the middle of the road, you be honest with what God, and if you fall down, get back up, but stay in the middle of the road. It's just easy to get off in ditches off to the side. You know, because then once you do that, you know, it's typically what happens, you get off in the ditch over here, you've just eaten 15 spiritual Hershey bars, so to speak, and you're frustrated, you're mad, you're in that fog, and your theology, even this sermon, sounds like a nagging diet reminder that I haven't followed my diet again. So I just eat another Hershey bar. Yes, there is spiritual binge eating as well, too, that happens. But at some point, you're just realizing, this is grace. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm coming back to the middle. Man, this isn't about getting righteous or being, he loves me. He's for me. These are things that I want to be looking unto him as he finishes my faith, so that I can walk in the good things that he's ordained me to walk in. Somebody once had an experience like this, and this was, kind of close with this little testimony, but his heart was this: God, I love you. I want to feed myself spiritually. I want more of your word. I want to eat healthy. I realize that this word is where it is. The nutrition is in the word. Whether it's worship, singing the word, whether you're fellowshipping, whether you're reading the word, whether it's teaching on the word, you realize that that things above put something in me. Like those eggs, it puts something in me, nourishment, that's going to give me strength. It's like, Lord, this was his consecration that he did. Again, he said nobody told him to do it, nobody forced him to do it, but he was always an avid newspaper reader. And I think this was back in probably the 60s or early 70s. But he said, what I'm going to do, Lord, is that 30 minutes that I read my newspaper every day, I'm going to just put it aside, and I'm just going to start reading my Bible and fellowshipping with you. And I'm going to do that for 30 days. That's it. I know that there's life here. So he just did that. And as he did that, at the end of the 30 days, he said he didn't want to go back to his Bible. I'm sorry. Thank you. He didn't want to go back to his newspaper. Thank you. He put it this way. He said, when you start reading the Bible the way you've been reading your newspaper, and start reading your newspaper the way I've been reading my Bible, then what the Bible says will shake you up, and the newspaper won't. But that's it. It's like, man, after that, I never went back to the newspaper again. Stayed with the Bible. Why? He was getting more out of that. He was putting something into him. But then he said, but now if somebody would have came along and said, you can't read that newspaper and go to this church, so I'm going to go out and buy a newspaper just because you said that, you know. I'm not doing it to please you. I'm not doing it to make somebody happy and being under somebody's petty tyranny. I'm doing it because I'm eating. I'm serving my Lord. It's good for me. It's healthy, and I know it. And it's a conviction he's put in my heart. So we're talking about a healthy diet. It's important to understand when we talk about a healthy diet, how we eat. What's the practical way me and you eat in the 21st century? There's a lot of different ways, but a lot of ways that we eat these days is going to involve switch flipping, screen touching, and button pushing. What are we talking about? In the same spirit of awareness we've had in our culture for diet and food and what's in food, we need to have that same kind of content awareness and even just awareness of how we're feeding ourselves throughout the day. And I'm not, again, putting rules of what you can and can't do or buttons you can and can't push or anything like that. I'm just saying be aware. You know, you could find yourself, if you do find yourself like frustrated or mad or down or gray, just take a little inventory. What have I eaten today? You know what I mean? It does affect you, all right? And these are just different areas that you can begin to be aware and curb. And then what you eat. There's mind-ripping stuff, and there's mind-corrupting foods. Don't be deceived. Mind-corrupting foods will make you want to do the wrong thing. You have a mortal body. If you didn't have this thing, you know, you wouldn't be vulnerable. But the Apostle Paul said, the law of sin and death in my members wars against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. You're carrying around a body that is mortal for a reason. It's been infected by sin, which makes it vulnerable. You can put to death the deeds of the body and be free from it, but it's still vulnerable if you feed it. I kind of heard the little poem, two natures beat within my breast, the one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. And we've both, all of us have experienced that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know. And ultimately, what we eat, it matters, okay? It has nothing to do with my righteousness, has nothing to do with legalism, but you got to be honest that it does affect you, okay? And then finally, God's diet plan for you. It's being true to your own convictions. Stay out of the critical ditches of judging people. Stay out of the caution to the wind. I don't care what anybody, chip on the shoulder ditch, we'll put it that way, all right? I'm going to be in the middle. There are two different kinds of bitternesses. They're both bitter, but they're bitter over different things. And so you want to stay in the middle and say, nah, the few years I got, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to be true to what God is showing me, what I got to do. Yeah, I'm not going to measure up on some levels. No problem. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that as we're endeavoring to get a ripped mind that wants to think on you, there is this element of diet. It does matter. And it's not in a legalistic context. It's not in a judgmental context. It's just in a matter of nutritional context that what we set our minds on does produce things. When we set our minds on spiritual things, it produces a life and a peace. or it produces death when we set our mind on flesh stuff. Help us to be aware. Let's go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, there is a spiritual diet. There's a milk of your word. There's a meat of your word. There's nutrition in your word that I can grow thereby. I recognize it. Help me to be aware of when I'm feeding myself, when I'm feeding my soul, the screens I touch, the buttons I press are putting things into me. I thank you for good food, for good food that builds me up, that strengthens me, that makes my mind healthy, just like my body is healthy from eating good physical food. I recognize it. Show me, Lord, the diet that I need to have. You establish those convictions in my life by the Holy Spirit. Show me the limits. Show me the straight paths of diet for my mind. The things I watch, the things I listen to, they matter. You lead. You guide. And I will block out the noise from the left for not measuring up, the noise from the right for being too legalistic. I look straight ahead. You're my Lord. You guide me in these decisions. And your diet is perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, that component, that diet component, again, it's a big part of it. And I know a lot of people kind of go off in a lot of weird directions with it, but it's important to realize it does matter. And it can matter, and it can be a blessing in your life without getting weird about it. Letting the Holy Spirit show you, and you being true to what the Holy Spirit is showing you, all right? And you're going to learn. You're going to grow. You're not going to see it all spelled out usually. You're going to learn as you grow in life, but God will get you there. You know, if there's a genre of music or a genre of movies that gets you in that dark place and you know it, man, be true. It's not because what people think, you know you. You bring your body under subjection. That's your job. So praise God. I thought this was going to be the last one, but I woke up yesterday morning with part six. So, all right. So here we go. We'll flow with it. That's probably going to be the last one, but we'll see. All right. Praise God.